So this week in the Wicked Wardrobe, I'd like to welcome Yael in the UK. And I only know that because I listened to an interview recently that he did with James, an English gentleman. Yeah. So welcome
Thank
to Get
so
In My Ears.
Much. It's so cozy in this little cupboard. It's
small, that's for sure. Mm. It gets hot in here, and not Intimate. Always for the good reasons, but
I don't think that's a bad reason to get hot.
No. Well, you know.
I live in the UK.
And in Australia,
it's horrible.
Well, I can tell you, in the middle of an Australian summer, this is not the best place to be. I'm going to have to work out some sort of, you know, soundless air situation.
I always forget that you guys have, like, Christmas in the summer, which is a completely bonkers concept to me.
Concept?
Yeah. It's like it was snowing here last week, and I'm like...
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Like, proper, like, white Christmas kind of snow.
Oh, God.
And you guys are there, like, in your boardies.
Just sweating it out. Going in the pool.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it is a different sort of concept. We have family in the UK, and some came to visit us clearly more than 2 years ago, and they all jumped in the pool on Christmas Day.
That's
and got a photo of themselves because sent it back home. They're from Scotland, actually.
Yeah.
And they're just like, check us out, we're in a pool on Christmas Day.
If you got in a pool on Christmas Day, you would become a physical ice block in Scotland. You'd struggle to find a pool that wasn't frozen solid in Scotland on Christmas Day.
So, true. They were very chuffed with themselves. So we've got a window into our pool from an interior window into it. So they, you know, all sort of dove down with their and put Santa hats on, and they were so impressed with themselves on for Christmas. So yeah. Anyway, side note. So welcome. That was a bit of banging on about
Thank
nothing.
You.
Welcome, y'all in the UK. I guess to kick things off. Who are you? Where are you from? What do you do? All that sort of basic information for people who don't know you or haven't come across you in this naughty audio space.
Oh, gosh. And there's a good chance that you haven't, because I'm still quite new, really. But yes, my name is Yael in the UK, or The Yael in the UK. For some reason, my Twitter handle is different to everything else, and I'm not sure why. It's like Yael in the UK on Twitter, and then everything else is The Yael in the UK. I don't know. I don't know why I did that.
I see.
Clearly a lapse of judgment. But I am a British voice actor, vocal artist, whatever VA actually stands for. I'm not sure I actually know. I make safe for work and non-safe for work content, mostly not safe for work content, because I'm a filthy, filthy boy. I've been around for a couple of months. About 3 or 4 now. What's interesting is I think that actually me and Bruce Chins started like almost at the same time. I think within like
a week
of each other. Yeah, I think it was really well. I actually uploaded a couple of audios back in May and then really quickly panicked and took them down because I was like, what if my mum hears them?
First of all, why is your mother listening to naughty audio?
Well, I don't know.
I think that's the bigger question, isn't it?
Yeah, true. Hey, I mean, you know.
Well, look, more power to her then.
Yeah, if that's what she enjoys. But no, I just kind of had that panic of like, oh my God, what if my family find out that I'm making people orgasm on the internet? And that worried me. So I took them down. And then I came back in July, August, like middle of July, beginning of August, I think, kind of time. I think that was around the same time as Shin's. So we've had like a kind of similar we also interact with a lot of the same people, so I think we've ended up in a kind of similar space. He's also just like a really lovely dude, so
he's extremely charming, and just I found that sort of interview with him and in interactions that I have with him, he's very down to earth and quite realistic, I think, in, you know, just figuring that we're just moaning into a mic, people, you know.
Yeah. I think it's
trying to make people feel good.
I think it's just like really refreshing to see people just treating it what it is, I think, like, you know.
Yeah. Like, what prompted you to come back after, you know, deleting those audios in May? What changed your mind to think, oh, I'm going to do this?
Well, I've always been, like, a very overtly sexual person. Like, mm-hmm. from as far back as I can remember, I've always, like, had interests in that, like, I was mm-hmm. always curious, like, as a kid, and I lost my virginity very young, and, like,
right.
I was, like, I was, like, 14, and, right. like, you know, I've always had that interest.
A curiosity.
I'm, like, mm-hmm. really curious about all things sexual, like, about, like, people's yeah. kinks, about people's interests, about, like, different kinds of porn. Like, I just find it, like, a really yeah. fascinating. It's like this weird taboo world that, like, nobody in their day-to-day yeah. life will talk about, but then, like, everybody yeah. does it, and I can't and I can't think of anything else that, like, is like that, really. So I just find it fascinating, and I also just, like, I got to a point where I was like, I'm so desensitized to porn at this point. Like, I need to find...
Do you mean, like, visual porn?
Yeah, like, I think there's a limit yeah. to visual porn that you don't get mm. with audio porn. And I think also people with audio porn are, like, a lot more creative. I think the scenarios mm-hmm. that they come up with and the performances that they put in are just, like, you have... I mean, suppose you don't have that visual element. So, one, sure. you're automatically, like, filling in all the blanks in your head in exactly the way you want them to be. And two, like, because that's the thing with audio, like, it only really gives you, like, 20% of the full experience, I think.
Yeah.
Like, but that's the good
yeah,
thing,
I agree.
Because you fill in the rest of the 80% in your head, mm. and actually, what's in your head is always going to be better than what's on the screen. Like, the number of times I've been watching, like, a porn video or something, and I've been like, oh, this is just... not lived up to my expectations of what I wanted from
yeah,
this.
I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
yeah.
Or there's like 30 seconds of what I actually like and then 10 minutes yeah. of shit I don't care about.
Yeah.
Sorry, am I allowed to swear, by the way? I didn't.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, go. Well, great. Fuck it. Why not?
Great. I always like, I forget, and then I'm like, oh, I better check just in case. Like, this is a safe word.
No, we're not the BBC. We're good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Thank God we're not the BBC.
Exactly.
But yeah, so I think, like, you know, I find audio porn, like, really, really fascinating. I think it's one of the best yeah. ways of engaging with it, because I think encouraging people to use their imagination in general in life is a good thing mm. anyway. But I just think it's a better way to access the kind of sexual parts of your brain that, like...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think video porn is very limiting.
Aside from the, you know, very... poor acting sort of gets you into that
I'm so
yeah.
glad that Shin's picked up on as well, because I was like, that is mm. when I was listening to the interview with Shin's, I was like, that is exactly how I feel about this. Like, the mm. number of times I watch, like, a porn and I'm like, oh, okay, great concept, really interested in mm. the narrative, because narrative is super important to me in porn.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I'm so invested, and then it's like, oh my God, I just want you to take your penis and put it in my vagina. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't, I can't.
You need to do a shit post like that.
Oh, I always get in trouble for my shit post. I did, like, an Elmo shit post on Twitter. And
I think we talked yeah. about that. I think I sort of chimed in on that conversation, actually, between the two. Someone was going to do, one of you going to do Oscar?
Yeah.
I was going to do, yeah.
I was just, and then someone asked me to do Dexter's Lab, and I was like, oh. "That's a whole nother, thing."
Whoa! Dee-dee. Slow your roll, people. Just...
yeah.
Wow. Well, that's really so. You just, because you've always had that inherent sort of curiosity with yeah. it. Why return to the space after that's like, are you not concerned your mum might hear you now, or
I still am concerned yeah. I think that people in my day-to-day life will hear it, yeah. especially like certain kinds of things, you know. I have like, I don't know if it's the same across the world, but like in the UK there's like a real thing of being like being a dick to your friends, like the friends that you're best yeah. friends with, you are a dick to them constantly, and that's like a given thing in the UK,
because you can, because yeah, they're your friends,
exactly,
and they're gonna be there,
exactly.
Right? Yeah, that's a bit of an Australian thing too. She's like, yeah, righto.
And there's just a couple of friends that I think of that I'm like, if they knew what I did, I would never hear the end of it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
just forget about it.
They would ruin me. Yeah. Especially like the M sub ones. Do you know what I mean? Where I'm like, oh yeah. Like,
could you imagine?
Fuck me with a strap on, mommy. And like, they'd be like, they'd just ruin me.
You'd
forever.
Be down the pub and they'd just, like, just come and whisper in your ear.
Yeah. Fuck me with a strap on, mommy. And like, oh God. So I still am concerned about it, but I just enjoy it so much. And I enjoy the community so much. Like, I just think,
were you surprised at the response to your initial sort of posting?
I mean, I'm an incredibly self-deprecating person, so it's a weird one because in a similar way to Shin's, normally, like not as much as what he said, but normally when I do something, I get it right. Like, I'll be
sure.
good at it.
Yeah.
I work really hard. I engage myself.
Yeah.
And I do it to the utmost of my ability. And and I go the extra mile if I can. So generally speaking, that amount of work pays off. Sometimes I'm just naturally good at stuff, which is great. Sometimes I'm not, but I work hard. I wasn't expecting the response that I got. It was wild, actually. Like, I put up an audio, and this was when I came back, and I put up an audio and I got like 100 followers in like a week. And at the time I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then a week later I had 1,000 and I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like,
yeah,
what
I
is
did.
Going
I did
on?
Notice that. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Kind of exponential growth.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's weird because like, I genuinely didn't expect, I thought people would be like, who is this British fuck trying to be sexy? Like, you know, I think like I am quite a sexy person in real life. Like, if I get in the bedroom with someone, like I'm into a lot of wild shit and I'm very vocal and I like to talk and I know that I've got like a voice that's quite deep and that people like that typically, I found.
Appeals, yeah.
But the thought of like just my voice coming out across, I was like, I don't know if that's going to translate at all. But I basically
I think it does. Yeah. Well, okay, so go on.
Well, I'm very pleased that it does. But no, I wasn't. I try not to ever have expectations too much.
Sure.
Because
I can just leads to disappointment, I think, in general in life.
And without going into too much detail, a lot of my work, my real life work, involves a similar kind of thing. Like I'm in performance and theatre and stuff as a range of different capacities. So I know how not fickle an audience can be, but actually like how easy it is to miss your audience with your content.
Yes.
So I was like not banking on anything particularly.
Sure.
But basically the reason why I got into it in the first place was I made like a safe for work relaxation like nighttime audio for a friend of mine. So literally a couple of minutes long, and it's just like, you know, it's the end of a long day and we're here and I'm here with you and we're just gonna you know, relax and all that kind of stuff. Their name wasn't in it, so it you know what I mean, I sent it to a few people after that just to kind of see what they thought. And a few friends of mine were like, hey, you should, online friends were like, you should get into this thing GWA. And then another friend of mine introduced me to like NSFW Twitter, and like basically a bunch of people that I know went, hey, go to this place, put your voice here, use this website, like, do this,
upload this.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
Now.
And I was like, okay, cool. Right.
Were you aware of GWA and naughty Twitter and that sort of
not
space?
Not at all.
Oh, really?
Like,
so you hadn't
no
been
idea.
A listener for a good long while. I'm finding most of the creators I'm interviewing are.
Literally.
Have been.
My first interaction with GWA was to like, I think I listened to an audio when I got to the website to see what it was about, and then I uploaded something. Like, literally, it was like,
wow,
one, two.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't listen to I don't know if it's because I'm so busy all the time at the moment, and sure. I have been the last few months, sure. but I don't listen to all that much audio because I just don't right. have time. And like, so I basically what I tend to do is I'll find there'll be a point where I've got like, okay, I've got like 2 or 3 days free. And then I'll be mm-hmm. like, right, I'm going to like find a bunch of audios that I really want to listen to. And then over the course of those few days, I'll listen to them all. So I don't tend to make it through a lot of audio myself, which is right. which is something I really regret, actually. Like, I wish I had more time to listen to more. Yeah. But it's genuine. Even when I feel like I have time, it's finding a space yes. where I'm like, okay, I'm... Not only do I have time, but also I'm in the mood, because those two yeah. things oh, absolutely. Often don't lining always, it like, up. Line up.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Mm. But I always love it when I do listen. So
yeah. I find that really interesting that it's a new space in general for you as both a creator and a listener. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, yeah. especially Twitter. I don't do social media, even in my like personal private life. I don't mm-hmm. do social media. I don't have right. a Facebook account. I don't have any social media platform,
Instagram or anything. Or,
no, yeah, okay. because I find the concept of social media, of putting yourself on social media, a terrifying Orwellian prospect that genuinely it genuinely petrifies me, so right. I avoid it like the plague. So
how has that been in your Twitter space then, because I follow you and I see that you're quite sort of not prolific, but you're posting quite regularly, I'm noticing, and it might be, I think, perhaps our time zones, given where we are. I think you might be posting as I'm either waking up, maybe as you're going to bed. I don't know. Well, but I do see your posts.
I find it a lot more comfortable with an alias. Because there's none of
the anonymity of it.
Yeah, it's anonymous, so I don't feel like I'm feeding into the corporate kind of, you know, hive mind so much. Although there was a scary moment this morning where I was like, I've woken up and I was like, I need to do some yoga. I mentioned it to a friend in a DM, and then I opened up YouTube to pull up like a video, and the top advert the second I opened it was like, hey, do some yoga. I was like, oh my god.
She's like, god damn, Big Brother.
Horrifying.
Right.
So I'm still like really nervous about that kind of stuff. And I don't know how much of it is coincidence and you just notice the times that it happens and you don't notice the times that it doesn't or whatever, but it does spook the shit out of me. With an alias I'm a lot more comfortable with it. I'm also aware that like in order to kind of maintain an engagement level, I have to kind of keep going, and I'm enjoying it. I've gotten a lot from it. Like not to get too heavy, but I was in a relationship a few years ago, quite a few years ago now, which did a lot of work towards destroying my confidence. So it sucked, but it's all good. But Twitter has weirdly, I never would have thought it could have, but has actually, I say Twitter has done this. Twitter hasn't done anything. Twitter's been a platform. The people on Twitter have really brought a lot of that confidence back.
So, I'm so pleased to hear that, because we often just hear, you know, the negative side of the impact of social media. Yeah. But I think in this space, it really does. And particularly with the anonymity of it all, but it does create an environment which we can, like, even though people don't know us, their response to us still matters. It still has an impact, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird one, because it's like, you know.
Yeah. Are there things that you've posted on Twitter, actually, that you just think, oh, that was a bit too much, or that was a little bit too revealing, or... are you found your comfort level?
I get like real weird about the stupidest stuff. Like, I put out a picture recently. So I've recently launched my tier support thing, but I think if I'm honest, I'm probably going to move over to Patreon, because Buy Me a Coffee is like a weird thing, platform, whatever.
Yeah.
But I did this post and it was like, I was wearing like just a gown, basically. And I was like, oh, if you want to see what's underneath, I'm posting for my, you know, for my tier subscribers or whatever. And then I was like looking at it. I was like, there are two very like definite markings on this gown that I'm wearing. Yeah. I was like, if anyone knows that I have that gown, and a few people do, they could quite easily recognize me from that. Like, and then I was like, that is so specific. Do you know? But it's such a stupid fear to have, because it's like, you know.
Well, I don't think so. If because you're thinking that, you know, in potentially doxing yourself, you know, the impact, and that's something I wanted to talk about, but I don't think that's stupid or irrational at all, because if people are, you know, knocking around their space and do recognize it, then, you know.
I suppose that's the thing, like, I try to be careful, but I also try not to, like, worry myself too much. I'm very careful about, like, not revealing my face and stuff.
Because
I don't think I ever will. But I know people sometimes ask about it, but I probably will never do that. I might send the occasional slightly revealing thing through like Snapchat, maybe, but I don't know. maybe.
Yeah,
it's a funny world, isn't it?
It is. Is there any part of it that sort of concerns you for the long term? In, you know, people taking screenshots or keeping things. I guess if once it's out there, it's out there, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't post anything that I'm like, I wouldn't. I don't post anything that hasn't, like, that people won't have. I mean, so when I was younger, I used to have an Instagram account. I don't have it anymore. But I put, you know, like, workout progress photos on that, which was just me in underwear. Right. So, like, you know, I'm not too worried in I know the context is different, but like, in terms of my actual body, I'm not that concerned about like putting that out there. I think like, there are definitely certain things where I'm like, this is probably identifiable if someone knew me, but the chances of someone I know coming across it are probably reasonably small. You know, I don't have like a million followers on Twitter. I think I'm like under 500 still. So, you know, it's like, I think in terms of like the number of people in the world and the number of people that follow me on Twitter, it's pretty unlikely. I mean, it could happen, and I'll deal with that if it does, but I think for the most part,
would it have a serious sort of say a work colleague, you know, put it all together and went, "Hey, I heard this, or I recognized your voice in this, and is this you?"
I mean, I suppose how would that with all of it? I have plausible deniability with all of it. I could just be like, "That's just someone who sounds like me, who looks a bit like me. There's no actual picture of their face. Like, you can't." Prove it's me, so you can't get me fired. I also believe that, you know, people should be entitled to do whatever they want in their private lives, so long as they're not hurting anyone else. So if anybody was like, "Oh, I think what you're doing is wrong," then actually what that would tell me is that that person was someone who shouldn't be in my life anyway. Ultimately, you know, I want to avoid that embarrassment.
I can understand.
Yeah,
that.
I mean, like, if you know, if a friend of mine found the, you know, like, for an M sub audio or something, and was like, "Oh, I bet this is you," I'd be like, "Well, you can't prove it."
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, this doesn't sound anything like me. What are you talking about? I sound like this. You know. So there's no like massive repercussions if it does come out. I suppose the only thing is that I, as part of my job, I sometimes, and this is, you know, part of the reason why I'm very clear on what I will and won't do, because I get commission requests sometimes. None have asked me for this yet, but I do get commission requests, and I've been very clear, like, I think about what I won't do. But I do sometimes in my job work with kids. So there is like a thing that's most
there are
of
hard
the
limits.
Yeah, and then that's most of the reason why I'm as anonymous as I am, is that obviously what you don't want is linking things
minus,
back
yeah.
because
yeah
like you know I've worked in scenarios where, you know, a student has gotten a crush on me and we've had to address it. Do you know what I mean? And like, if there's more fuel to that, if they can link stuff online with sexual to me. So I'm very, very clear about like just what I won't do, mindful of that and mindful of those two worlds not crossing over, because the last thing and actually that is probably my major concern with like content is what is accessible by minors. So someone has asked me to do some work with them on something, and part of that is them putting content out on TikTok, and I'm a little bit hesitant regarding that because like I made a TikTok for my thing and then I've never used it really because I was like, this is, I don't, you know, this is a platform that is used by so many minors. I cannot, like Reddit, okay, a minor could make an account that says they're over 18 and then access my content. They could do that. There's no way of me stopping them.
No, but a minor can get on Pornhub.
But a minor can also get on Pornhub, But all I can do is take as many precautions and as many steps as I can at my end to make sure that they don't access it. So that's my major concern, is safeguarding.
Yeah, and that's really valid, isn't it? It's when minors are involved, I had somebody actually quite openly comment only just the other day, and I've never had this before. And just say, well, I'm 17 and I listened to it. I went, you need to leave now. Yeah. This is, you know, an 18 plus Reddit page and you are not welcome here. And I reported them straight. But they then went and replied and said, well, I listened to it. I'm not going to die. And I said, you're, and I didn't engage it.
Yeah.
You know, clearly just reported it and it was removed. But to openly just say, well, I'm 17. You really want my attention, don't you?
That's also like the dumbest thing to
do. I know.
I'm going to just out myself as underage.
Yeah, exactly. I'm looking to get banned.
Yeah.
Yes. But yeah, you're right. There's only so much we can do as contributors to this space and ensuring that security
and I think it is important that we do everything we can do because you're right, there is a limit to what we can do, but it's important that we do everything that we can within our power to do it. And I sometimes won't name anyone, I'm not interested in drama or whatever, but sometimes I see, like, you know, especially on Twitter, those who don't have, you know, very clear like indicators of do not access my content if you're under 18, all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, as the adults in this situation, we have to do everything within our power to prevent that.
Yes, so, yeah, I agree.
We've gotten like into a really in-depth conversation on minors.
Well, no, I think it's all really I think it's all valid and relevant and in our roles. And there's a certain amount of responsibility, I think, that we have.
Because, I mean, ultimately, you know, the minors are the minors. They're the ones who are at risk.
Yeah.
They are the you know.
Yes.
And while we might think, like, you know, I worry, oh, God, what if, you know, a minor accesses my content and then tries to get me taken down or whatever. Like, that is a very small, relatively small concern with actually, like, oh, I just don't want minors accessing my content. I don't want them to feel encouraged to do that. I want them to feel discouraged and prevented. So I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I guess sort of moving on from that and the type of content that you record. So you've got a hard limit with regards to
age play
and anything involving minors.
Yeah.
Are there? Have you found, like, with your followers or your listeners, is there a particular genre or a niche that you've kind of settled into, or do you have a fairly sort of broad range?
I try not to pigeonhole myself too much. I like to try new stuff. I literally yesterday released my first ever Pet Play audio. Pet Play is a kink that I have, like, admittedly no experience with. It's not something I've ever had a chance to try it in real life. A lot of the stuff
did that really sort of push your creative?
I mean, luckily I had a script to go from, like, I found a good script offer and did that, and that was helpful. But getting the tone right, I think, was really important to me. I didn't want to sound like I didn't want it to sound like just a general dom sub dynamic. I wanted it to feel like pet play. I wanted someone who's who's confident with pet play and experience with pet play to feel like, oh, this was for me. And whether or not I achieved that, I have no idea. But I've had some nice feedback from it, so that's great.
Oh, that's brilliant. Yeah. And are you discovering any sort of new in keeping your options or your range quite broad then? Are you discovering any new kinks or things that you've sort of fallen into and just think, oh yeah, I kind of dig this. This is good. Is there anything new that's come up for you?
I think a lot of what I thought I liked has been cemented. Like, there's a lot of things that I was like, I think maybe I like this, and then I'll hear an audio about it, or I'll get involved with something, like a little interaction with someone on Twitter or something, and I'll be like, oh yeah, no, I'm super into this. I think the thing that has mostly come out of it is I didn't realize how much, I knew I liked it, but I didn't realize how much I like hypnosis audio and the whole concept of that. I think like the idea of literally reprogramming someone's mind to be like, you know, your perfect little plaything or whatever, and I'm like, okay, this is, I knew this was like hot, but I've never really like engaged in it that much. And then I listened to a couple of audios and I made a couple of audios and I was like, oh no, this is fucking smoking.
this is
so good.
Hello.
Yeah, it's so good. And also just like, you know, it's quite vain, I think. But like the response that I got from the big hypnosis audio I made, where it's like, you know, someone would be like, oh my God, like my brain's gone empty and all this stuff. And there's like a whole thing in that hypnosis audio. I don't know if you've heard it or not, but basically there's a whole thing in it. I do this kind of repeated mantra thing, and it's like, when I put my hand on your shoulder, you will do this. When I put my hand on your shoulder, you will become this. When I put my hand on your shoulder, you will think this. And like, and I go through it and go through
it. I'm just searching right now. save. Okay. How was that for you? Like, were you immersed in it yourself as you were, was it a script?
It was a bit of original content. I kind of I scripted bits and pieces, and it's to date the biggest editing job that I've done on anything. And it's like lots and lots of binaural stuff. It's whispers. It's there's some kind of like low pulsing audio underneath it all. Like you know, it's supposed to be designed to both relax you and also turn you on. And reprogram your brain in a way that, and obviously, you know, there's a kind of, I can just hear you typing.
I am. No, nothing to see here. What was that?
Obviously I understand that, like, hypnosis is a thing that only works with certain people, and it like takes a lot more than just like one audio for it to function. But it can really like, you know, in that moment it can have quite a great effect, and I got a lot of gratification going like, oh, I'm like brain empty, and then I would like send them a little message that just said like, I put my hand on your shoulder or whatever.
Oh, you did not?
Oh yeah. 100%.
Are we gonna run with this now?
I loved it, like, and I would mostly do it as like someone would comment publicly on the Reddit, and I would comment publicly back saying, I put my hand on
I'm
your
seeing
shoulder,
it here, like, puts my hand on your shoulder and squeezes just like,
and people just losing it, and genuinely like it gave me so much joy, like,
it's very gratifying, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
To know that you've had that impact, like you've had quite a visceral impact on us, and particularly for it to have been, you know, original content. I think, I write scripts and record for commissions, but also behind some paywalls and on consignment, and it's almost work for me. I much prefer to fill a script. But what is your sort of percentage there? How's your split between sort of improv and original content and doing script fills?
You know, it's funny. Like I because of the nature of my work, I actually don't have like one employer. I work contract to contract, so my schedule changes like all the time. Like, and sometimes I'm working weekends, sometimes I'm working weekdays, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So the time that I have available to record changes constantly. And sometimes I'll have like 2 weeks that's like chocker and I won't be able to get anything done, and then I'll have like a week where I get loads of time. So typically what I do is I record like the vocals for like 6 or 7 script fills like in a day. Like I will just smash them out. And I might stop doing that because I think I noticed that the quality drops by like the 3rd or 4th recording because I'm tired or something, so I might stop doing that. But but I would say it's quite a balance. It's interesting actually. I got this like new mic and everything, and I you know, I've been like really working on like trying to pile some really high quality script fills. They never do as well as the stuff that I just record on my phone.
It's always the way, right? It's like, always the freaking way. The ones you put the most effort into, you think it's going to be a banger. It's just like,
And
no.
It never hits the same way. But I mean, I just have my first audio hit.
It's like you say, fickle.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what it... I wonder maybe if it's like... if there's a truth... If there's like a real truth or an honesty to... just recording something into, I mean, the audio, I've just had my first audio go over 1,000 upvotes.
I saw that. Congratulations. That's a massive achievement.
Yeah, I'm so pleased. But it was literally...
You should be. That's really brilliant. Yeah.
It was one that I recorded that I just mounted my flashlight and started fucking it and started and hit record. Yeah. Like, there was no, you know, and then I was recording on my phone, so I uploaded it straight to Soundgasm, stuck it on the internet, and like, and that's the one.
Yeah.
And then my hypnosis one, I probably about 6 hours of work into, and like, you know, and it's done well, but it's like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I literally don't get it, but I'm so grateful either way.
Yeah, right. Those ones that sort of, I'm looking, so you've done, oh, hang on now. Have you done many Ramble Faps? I'm wondering if that's the difference. That's the kicker.
A few, I've done a few. They don't always do great. That one and the last one I did pretty well. Then I did one that was I did one that was an OC that was improvised. That was, that was them, Let Me Show You Why I Work Out or something, I think it's called. And it's like, it starts with like me finishing off a bunch of push-ups. And I'm like, I think I was like, 100. Like, because I thought it would be funny.
I love it.
You know, it's like that bit in Anchorman where he's like, 10,000.
Yeah, yes, 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 totally.
I thought it'd be, I can't remember how many I say I do. I think I can physically do quite a few push-ups. Like, not loads, not hundreds, but, you know, I'm quite fit.
You're capable. Yeah. Yes, yes. I kind of get that impression from your posts. Yeah. Yes,
but I didn't like, you know what I mean, I didn't actually do like 100 push-ups or whatever. But then like,
could you imagine that into the mic? Just like, that's a whole different genre of audio. Oh, I think just like post workout recovery audio.
I should start a new genre.
Maybe you should.
But that one did really well. I think that one like fell just shy of 1,000 upvotes, and I think got like 30,000 listens on Soundgasm or something.
Wow! Yeah. Wow! That's incredible. Yeah,
I mean, I think it was wild, but like, but that one again was like improvised in the moment. Like, I knew basically what I wanted to do with it, but I just kind of like, I was like, oh, it would be fun if I just did this audio that was like, you know, a bit of a workout, and then I'm like, oh, come here, baby girl, like, I'll show you why I work out, so I can lift you up and throw you around and make you feel small.
Yeah.
And I thought that was like, that was literally the concept I had for that going in, and then I just winged it and recorded it, and it did really well. Which I'm obviously like pleased about.
So with regards to your audience and the response that you get, I noticed you also do M for M content.
I have done
locked
one
into the female audience.
I've done one M for M script that was a commission, and I honestly loved making it. like, it's one of my favorite ones I've made. Partly the person who wants to remain anonymous, who commissioned it, was just like super sweet, really understanding about my time restraints, like really easy to work with, just like a really, really great person. They knew what they wanted, but they were really open with being like, hey, just, you know, give it your normal spin, do what you want to do with it. And they gave me like enough constraints to work within that I was like, okay, cool, I know what I'm doing, but like, I can be really creative with this. And I loved it. Like, I really, really loved it. And I'm definitely going to make more.
M for M content?
Yeah, for sure. More M for M content. I think, like, also the feedback that I've had from that has just been, like, really lovely as well in every community that, like, it has been in. It's been really lovely received. It's been received in a really lovely way. So I'm really proud of it, and I'm really happy with that. And I'd only really put off doing M for M content because I didn't really know what was good as M for M content. I didn't know what would be enjoyed and like what
would appeal.
Because like, I mean, I'm so sexually, I'm I don't really like labels very much at all. I understand that they're really like really useful for communicating stuff, but also like I just don't like them because I don't ever feel like I really fit into them.
Quite restrictive in some ways
but I would say like I'm closest to like I don't know, pansexual, I suppose. I don't really define my interests by gender. If there's a personality or a body or like whatever it is that I like, then I like it, and I try not to think too hard about it, because I think like it's just easier to be like I like people
I like what I like. I'm not limited.
Having said that, I don't have a lot of experience with men in real life. I have some, but not much. So I didn't, you know, my audio for women comes from quite a wealth of knowledge from my own life or experience from my own life. Whereas for men, I don't know so much because I haven't experienced it so much. So I guess that was like scary for me. It was like, I didn't really know where to start. But actually the commission was like a really nice way of getting into it because
a soft landing in a way into the space, into that M for M space then.
Exactly. They told me exactly what they wanted and that also gave me room to play, and then that gave me more ideas, and then I was like, oh great, now I'm really cooking with gas.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah,